Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Taste of Dragons, the Toddcast, video game podcast that all you presenters of games, you know, of awards, stuff, you know, those types of things, you know, all those people, they listen to it.
Hell yeah, they do.
Damn right they do.
Show enough.
And this week, we'll be talking about ranking through Destiny while disco dancing.
Ooh.
Ooh. Indie baby combat news.
Ah.
Our topic is re-awarding.
Get out of here.
And this week's dragon is usually knighted, but wrongly by me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
How confusing.
Very confusing. Like my introduction. Very confusing.
I love it.
And my name is Brian.
My name is Troy.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Joe.
Welcome, everyone.
Welcome, Brian, as well.
Thank you.
You know what? You welcome us every week. Who's welcoming you? You know what I mean?
You guys always welcome me with your words.
Aw.
I feel hugged with your words.
We like to start on a good, confusing note, mm-hmm. so the audience is very disoriented at the beginning, and then we can bring them back.
Yeah, it's like if you're in an alleyway and someone tries to mug you, mm-hmm. you want to disorient them first before fleeing or attacking.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, sing a song or spit on the ground and start yelling at the moon. These are all good survival tactics.
Oh, they're all great survival tactics. Right. It's also, you know, we're going to be looking at our metrics, and we're going to see a sharp decline in this week's episode about 5 seconds in.
No, but we're getting the viewers that, like, they're into that sort of thing.
All right,
and all so, right. like, the sharp decline may go down, but then those viewers are going to be like, nah, I'm into this.
All right.
This is the real stuff.
I'm a little confused. In your analogy, are we the mugger or are we being mugged?
Wow. I mean.
I was going to ask the same question.
I mean, you are what you want to be. This is a choose your own adventure life, and I'm not going to.
We're definitely the mugger, right?
Yeah, we're the muggers.
This podcast is for everyone. So whether you are the mugger or the muggy, we welcome you.
Yeah, you know what?
Muggies are called victims, love.
Not the way we do it.
they feel, you know, like there's a sense of something there. They're like, you know what? I feel hurt, but man, I feel good now somehow.
Camaraderie.
The
muggy sounds like an award that you give to someone who's been mugged. Like, and the best muggy goes to Devin, who got his iPad stolen. Well done, Devin. You really put up a fight.
I like it.
Thanks for the iPad.
And then you might notice some of us might have a little bit of a weird voice.
No, I don't know what we're talking about.
Some of us might be sick.
Okay, listen. Me and my wife, we got hit by the plague. We went to the cabin last week.
Yeah.
And we were all a flitter about someone who may come and get us, you know, in the cabin in the woods.
We were all prepared to be murdered.
Yeah. But we weren't ready for is Mr. Influenza.
You guys were down for murder, but not down for the sickness.
No, we were not.
I would high five you right now. I think I will.
Yeah.
Now you're sick.
Oh, God. I've been fooled.
He strikes again.
Purell. That has also been touched by hands.
Purell fixes it.
Oh, it's not coming out. You guys have used a lot of this Purell. It was a trap. There's no Purell in this. There's barely any in there.
That's all you need. A little bit goes a long way. So the bad side about being sick is that we may cough during this podcast or may have to stop a few times.
Yeah.
But the good side is that we got time to play a lot of video games.
That's right. Also the good side, you know, hopefully our editor Joe can edit most of those out.
Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome.
That's what we did this week. We played video games and we took naps.
Yes.
That's a pretty good week.
That sounds like a great week.
Yes, and shoved things up our noses.
Mm.
They say it's supposed to help, so we'll see. Cotton swabs, little nasal sprays.
Did it help?
Temporarily.
That's what matters, I guess.
Yeah.
The most disappointing thing is Troy and I both got a flu shot.
Oh, yeah. We were up on it this year.
Oh, man.
So you guys got like the ultra flu.
Yeah. The one that snuck in.
Yeah. Got in under the radar.
Yeah. They weren't counting on me.
Now, you see what you guys got like the Florida flu shot, but you didn't have the Tennessee flu shot.
Oh,
and, you
right.
know, somehow it's just different.
Right. Yeah.
The old mountain flu got us.
Yeah.
But hopefully we'll be back and raring to go by next week.
All right. Yeah.
And, good. Happy to be here this week.
All right. Well, I'm happy to have you guys here. You know, glad that you guys are able to at least talk a little bit because you guys weren't a couple of days ago.
No.
Oh, no.
It was bad.
It was so bad.
So bad. Well, let's get on to the games then. So,
what are you playing?
It's great because I always forget about that bit.
But I don't.
But you don't. You keep me grounded, Troy. It's great.
Anytime.
What have you guys been playing up in that cabin? How about you, Amanda? What have you been playing?
I didn't play anything in the cabin, which was a little disappointing. I expected to play the Switch, but between all of our shenanigans, I didn't really get around to it. But I have played a lot of Destiny. Since being sick, I had some time left over. And Destiny came out with a new expansion, Season of the Dawn, which has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They have some new stuff that came out with the expansion. Osiris is trying to rebel Cabal.
Osiris, the time-traveling wizard.
Yeah. It's like that classic story of like, hey, I made a time-travel device, but then I like forgot about it because I have a bunch of other awesome things that I'm working on.
Classic Osiris, am I right?
Yeah.
And he's like, and for some reason, the Cabal got to it because I probably didn't put enough security measures around it. And now they're like literally everywhere in time, and you have to go kill them.
All right.
Wait, is it fun?
It is fun. There's like a sundial mission. You can go in and you kill like a bunch of rounds of Cabal, and after you finish, you get rewards. And your rewards change based on like how you set up these things called obelisks.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go to different planets, set up obelisks, and as you level them up, they give you different rewards.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Which is fun because like I don't like sniper rifles and submachine guns as an example. So if those were rewards, I could choose not to hook them up to the sundial.
Right.
And I could just get like pulse rifles and hand cannons if I wanted to. So
Great.
Instead of like a normal expansion where it's like, hey, you finished this and now you got this awesome submachine gun. And then I'm super disappointed because I spent 4 hours on something I don't want.
Mm-hmm. Finally, my love for linear fusion rifles can come to fruition. I can't wait to go on that planet.
So, but that's super cool. And the obelisks are fun. Because they're on the planets, like the classic planets.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I haven't spent a lot of time on Nessus or Mars in a really long time. Like, I'll go
they're
there.
They're so bougie there.
I know, right?
Yeah, with their infection and their zombies everywhere. Goodness.
But it gives you, like, an excuse to go back. And actually, since I've been back on the planets, I've been like, oh, there's that content from an old expansion that I didn't finish. So maybe I'll go back and play that, which has been
there's content from the original game that I haven't done that I didn't realize I hadn't done. But I get to those planets and it's like, hey, there's so-and-so needs to talk to you. And then it's like hundreds of levels below me. I'm like, where were you this whole time? My bad.
Yeah.
We've been waiting for you to drop off that shipment you promised to bring us 4 years ago.
Oh, snap. About that.
It's interesting.
Time travel.
Yeah. It's really funny because I actually played a whole lot of Destiny because before the new season happened, I was like, all right. I'm at rank level like 84. I want to get my money's worth out of this season pass. So I was like, all right, I got to get to rank 100 so I can get everything from this first season. I did.
Oh, I'm glad someone did.
So I was able to like crank through it all.
Yeah.
And so I was just doing a whole lot of I did every single bounty I could that they had available every single day, and it really only took me like 2 days in order to get to the 15 levels that I needed. But like I did everything for those 2 days. Like I played like probably like 6 hours each day in order to do it.
Right.
Ugh.
And as soon as I got done, I was like, all right, and I'm good on Destiny for a little bit. So I haven't been back since.
And then a week later, the new season comes out.
Exactly. And I haven't played it yet, but I'm going to though. I plan on getting into it.
The new armor is really good.
Nice.
Or at least for the Hunter it is.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
I mean, it looks like everyone gets a mohawk. You can't go wrong with that.
You can't go wrong with that.
You got to earn the mohawk, though.
Oh,
you don't get
always have to earn the mohawk.
Default.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, that's just mohawk rules.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody just gets a mohawk.
Oh, I didn't mention Saint 14. They haven't confirmed it, but they're hinting at the fact that Saint 14 is going to be in the expansion, and that maybe you bring him back. Maybe you find a loophole in time to bring back dead people, which would be very useful for games.
Yes, Cade, our long-departed friend. Hopefully Nathan Fillion, too.
Yeah, Cade 7.
I have a Destiny theory. I think that Osiris is the wizard in the crew, and then Saint 14 is the titan in the crew, and then the hunter is the drifter.
Yeah,
I
agree.
That's like the core of that crazy team.
In one of the previews, you see the three people walking into the pyramid. One of them's clearly Osiris, one of them's clearly Saint 14, and then there's third guy.
Mm-hmm.
And from the back of his head, it could totally be the drifter.
The drifter.
And he's hints about, like, hey, I wasn't always like this.
Right. He's very mysterious.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, all right. Well, nicely done on the Destiny. You still enjoying it, though? What power level are you right now?
I'm 960, I think.
Nice.
What are they going to do when they reach 1,000?
Start over.
Okay. Yeah, Destiny reset. 3.
Yeah. Yeah. Reset. There you go. Destiny's dead. Have a good night,
that's
everyone.
That's the end of Destiny.
All right. I will go next. Like I said, I played a little bit of Destiny, or a lot of bit of Destiny for 2 days. and after that, I was like, all right, I needed a nice little thing to kind of mellow me out. So I picked up My Time in Portia.
Ooh.
Which is a Harvest Moon-like game, or if you're a newer person, a Stardew Valley-like game.
I like to think of myself as newer.
Yeah. Also the only one you've played of that series.
I haven't played any of those.
Yeah.
Oh, wait.
You played Stardew,
Stardew Valley. Yes. Yeah. Sorry. Yes.
So, yeah, I've been playing that. It's funny. I actually kickstarted it way back in however long ago it was. I actually backed it at the alpha level, and I was like, all right, I'm going to play it. I want to get in early. And then, like, I saw the alpha as they were coming out. I was like, but I really kind of want to enjoy this for the entire game. So I never played it until it finally released earlier this year.
You kickstarted it?
Yeah, I kickstarted it.
You're like the king of kickstarting something, being the first person to kickstart something and the last person to play it.
Yeah, yeah. That's very true. So I went into it, fresh eyes. I read like a lot of like the updates, but I've forgotten all of them mm-hmm. at this point. So now I went in with like fresh eyes. And then I saw, like, because I know Amanda had played it. And so, like, I hovered over her little icon because it's like, you know, you have friends who have played this before. Right. So I hovered over. I was like, oh, yeah, that's Amanda. 77 hours.
It's
oh, my lot. God.
That was your time in Portia.
Yeah.
It was. I didn't even finish it.
Well, you were, like, testing it out. You were, like, almost a tester at that point because you played it in the alpha.
I played it in the beta, but I didn't play very much for the same reason. I wanted to enjoy it. So I might, maybe, like, 10 of the hours were the beta, and the rest of it was just me playing. But also, I for games like that, I have a tendency to play them and other things simultaneously, so some of that might have been just, like, delayed.
Yeah, exactly.
And the game is very time-based. Like, things happen in real minutes, so it's not like, oh, well, I'm done for the day, I'll just wait, or I'll just go to bed. It's just like, oh, I guess I'll sit here.
Yeah, I gotta wait for this thing to craft.
Right, right.
Yeah, I have had that issue. The major issue I've actually had with it is you have to go in and into these ruins in order to get a lot of the things, the hidden things as well. So that's been a little weird because, like, I'm going in there and it really is just mining, at least for the ruins that I have access to right now. There's no, like, combat in them. Mm-hmm. There is combat outside the ruins, but it's, like, very basic combat. So I'm not even, like, really into that. Right now I'm just, like, I just finished, like, the first major mission, which was building a bridge to another island.
You built a bridge?
Tell
me about the bridge. What's the bridge like? How many people can get across it? How long did it take you to build it? I love bridges.
You're a bridge person.
I'm a bridge man.
It's not a highway yet.
Oh, well, then talk to me later.
Yeah, I haven't been able to strand anyone.
Oh, okay. But,
I was able to build a bridge, which is very involved for a bridge. It was a lot more like brass and copper than I thought a bridge would be. I was like, oh, I just have to gather a whole bunch of like wood. Wood was like the least part of it. So it's been interesting. I think I've played probably about like 7 or 8 hours of it so far. And I just got to like the first festival, which is like a fishing festival. So you have to like fish up the biggest fish that you can or the most amount of fish that you can. And you compete with your other fellow villagers. So I got second place.
Who's your favorite villager so far?
Well, so my favorite villager so far probably is the nurse. Just because it's just hilarious because everybody else in the village has got, let's just say, modest chests. They're all very small. And then you have this nurse that is
ridiculous.
Just ridiculous. And then she, like, her boobs also have physics for no reason.
That's what you mean.
Because nobody else, like I said, everybody else is very modest. So it's just like, they're just regular people. And then you have this nurse with, like, who, like, turns to the side and her boobs follow a second
it's
later.
Like,
I was like, what's going on here? So she's my favorite just for that reason.
Oh, I haven't seen the houses. I just realized. Have you gone into anyone's house yet?
Yeah, I've gone to a couple of people's houses. It's nothing really like major. It's just like, oh, okay, there's a chest hidden in here. Cool.
Did you mug them?
No. I did. The people who have like chests in there, like I will.
You'll steal
them.
You're going to take.
Because you were talking about that nurse every time you've said chest.
I know.
I'm just imagining bad physics.
Oh,
I mean, I haven't found her house yet. So I mean, I'm still looking for that chest.
Oh no! Quick, spin around.
Be great if she turns out to moon. Like not be human or something like that. Like she has no house because she's not real or something.
Just a figment of your imagination.
Probably. I know, that's fine. That's that's why it's delayed. But no, the game's fun so far. But I agree with Meta. It is very like, I don't know why. I get why it's time gated, but I don't like that it's time gated.
Is this a long way to say it's kind of boring?
It definitely has pacing issues, yes. Which is a shame because there's a lot about the game that I really enjoyed.
Okay.
After all the time it takes for me to collect the materials, for it to take like 2 days
so
to make
tedious
them.
Tedious.
It's a lot of counting. It's a lot of like, okay, if I smelt these 6 in this furnace and I smelt those 7 in that furnace, they'll take about the same amount of time. So I can make these 3 wheels at the same, which is at a certain amount of that is fun.
Yeah.
But I just don't think they got the pacing quite right where I'm not engaged with it. I feel like I'm waiting.
I vowed to stop counting after college.
Yeah.
And then, never counted again.
And then you have like, all right, cool. I have all this stuff timed up correctly. But then I forgot to refuel my forge.
Oh, right.
So now I forgot to put
Brian,
firewood into it. So now
Brian,
it's
come on.
Now it's a day behind, and it's like,
come on.
God.
I thought you said you weren't newer to this.
I'm not.
And you're here not refueling your forge?
I know.
Come on, man.
At first, I didn't know if the trees would grow back or not, so I refused to cut any of the trees near my house.
I did the same thing.
I only cut trees near other people's houses.
Oh.
And you have to use the wood to light the furnaces. So,
you tree mugged them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did the exact same thing.
They get home or like, where are all my trees? Why is my chest empty?
And then you just like putting your axe slowly behind your back.
Just said, what?
Hey, Tracy. Is that your character's name?
It could be, why not?
Or who you liked, I don't know.
But yeah, no, it's just got pacing issues, but it's fun so far. It's very cute. It's very, very cute. So
cute goes a long way.
Yeah, it does. So that's my time in Portia.
Thank
literally.
You. That was your time.
Yeah, it was.
That was our time in Portia.
Joe, what did you play this week?
Well, I dive deep into Aladdin, the old, I think, NES game or Super NES.
Or Genesis.
I played it on the Genesis. I don't remember which one it came out for the Nintendo, but I bought it for the Switch, the Lion King Aladdin 2-pack thing. I have not gotten into Lion King yet, but holy crap. Let me tell you what, I literally started off the game, forgot how to play entirely, forgot everything about the game, and then like within seconds I was like, oh, I know where everything is on this level. I know everything to do. This is the best day of my life.
Oh, hi, childhood. My name is Joe. Thank you for coming along to the party.
Yes. Every moment of that, I spent cursing in the back of my mind going, as soon as I hit the Cave of Wonders, I'm not playing this game anymore. I hate that level so much.
Wait, is this the Sega one or the SNES one?
I played it on the Genesis.
Is the one with the sword or the one without the sword?
Sword, with the sword.
Sega.
Okay. Yeah. So I was not looking forward to getting to the Cave of Wonders. There's 3 levels from what I remember in it. And I say I want it from what I remember because I've only ever gotten to the second level of the Cave of Wonders.
Oh.
And it took me so long to beat that as a child that I refused to play it for a very long time.
You got real PTSD.
Like for real.
Yeah.
Like for real, real. Like Brian's playing Destiny next to me. I'm enjoying all the cooling sounds of what Destiny does. It's so serene for me. And like
the gunfire?
Yes. I don't know what it is. Like you guys play
really
Destiny and I really love all of the sounds, especially when like things are like warping here and there.
Yeah.
Like bronx,
right. You know, special powers.
It's all cool sounding.
Yeah. Blasters.
When a Titan's thing goes off that thong. Like I don't know what it is. I love it. I love everything. So I've got this beautiful, serene music playing. And then like I've got and like, you know, like he's kind of like jumping around. You can do everything to the sound. It's phenomenal. Game's really easy. And then
the Cave of Wonders.
The Cave of Wonders happened. And I don't think I've cursed this much while playing a game in a very long time. I got through the first level, the first part of it, and I was like, oh man, I freaking hate this game. I hate this so much. I got to the second level and I was like, now I really remember why I hate this game. I couldn't remember the first level at all. I played that level thousands of times.
Is
probably.
There a succinct way you can describe what it is about that part?
I have no patience.
Okay.
I physically cannot just stand there and wait for things to pass.
Oh,
so
it's like a timing.
It's a timing
platform thing.
It's just a platformer. There's nothing. There's really nothing to it. It's fairly simple. I will say the controls are not very good on the Switch.
Right.
Kind of like like to a degree where had I had a Sega controller, I guarantee I would have passed this by this point.
Sure.
It's just not as responsive. And yeah. until I had picked up, you have to press it ever so slightly beforehand, not be actually running. You can't be running and press the button and still jump the same way in the game. Whereas before, I think because just the way the controllers were, you could do those things.
You gotta leap.
You have to. And I got to the point where the stupid rolling death balls of hell are just following you around as you go into caverns. And like you're supposed to be running really fast to get past them. Right. You're supposed to jump off and then you can go back for the gems and things.
Yeah.
I'm also a completionist.
Oh, gosh.
So it's very difficult for me to run past things that I can't have.
Oh, no.
So I have to go back and get it. I have to. I have a problem.
Oh, Joe.
So I was able to give up, like, don't touch all the apples because I don't need them. What am I going to throw them at? Bats?
That's like
it
the one rule in the Cave of Wonders is don't touch the gems.
You know what? And it's totally working. I would be dead
the
20 times over.
Is just saying you're not worthy.
I am not a diamond in the rough. I will never be the diamond in the Ryman in the rough. It will never be me. So like me and my Abu body is like, is that a gem? I can't leave that. I could buy wishes with that. I'm not doing this. I'm not leaving that gem behind. That gem is there for me. And it's not. It's really not. So lots of cursing. I still haven't gotten past that second level. I had to put it down. I was going to throw the Switch.
Well, like, you wanted to relive your childhood.
I did.
And you did.
Oh, I'm sure I cursed that much as a child as well.
There it is.
As
advertised.
Maddening. It's a great game, though. I'm sure at some point when I reach my patience level to where I can stand in one spot without just going, it'll probably be better. But until I learn some patience, no.
What's on the other side of this game? What's on the B side?
After you pass the Cave of Wonders.
The other game.
Oh, Lion King. To which has only one level that's hard. And that's the level right before the very end, I believe,
yeah.
when you have all the
when
lions.
When you're an adult?
Yeah. That's one of the only levels I remember that's hard. Everything else in that game I remember being fairly easy.
I remember loving that game so much. We rented it, and I loved it so much that I recorded myself, like VHS, playing that game so that when we returned it, I would just spend hours, or I don't know how long it was, just watching old tapes of myself play that game.
It's a great game.
And that's how YouTube was discovered.
I played that on the Game Gear. I never played that on the Genesis or the NES.
Yeah, NES.
I think
for me.
I
played on the Game Gear, yeah.
Oh, wow. Rich people over here.
I felt that way. My system was in color, and I had it was partially backlit. So, like at night when we drove from Grandma and Grandpa's house, I could still play my game.
I can't even begin to tell you how upset I was at how long it took Game Boy to have color.
Yes.
And when they were like, "Look, it's in color," or like when the DS finally came out, and they're like, "Look, it's backlit," and I was like, "I had this when I was six."
Yeah.
When I was six, I had a system that had color.
Yeah, but
you only
can play for like 5 minutes, and then
the
battery.
I was just about to say,
double A batteries.
Six double A batteries lasted maybe 2 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's if you had it on low. I'm fairly certain if you had that thing cranked to where the backlit, it was like backlit.
It was
backlit.
So pretty.
I think it was like a half an hour. Wait. I really don't think it lasted that long.
Are you talking about the Genesis or the original Switch? Zing!
It's a sick burn.
Bad battery life. It's pretty short. You should get the new version.
You know, I wasn't a grouch about the Switch when it came out. I played Breath of Wild outside of the house for at least 2 hours here and there, and I was really happy about it.
It diminishes.
Yes, it does.
Oh, it
I haven't
gone
back to
quickly.
The other one. Brian, how is that Switch working out for you?
Okay. Until I'm done playing, I look over at you. I'm like,
barely played.
Well, I guess I'm done playing in the wild. Look over at Joe, just darting eyes.
He looks over down at his. It's like, how did I get to 4%? I'm at 70. I'm like, yee.
Yep, I'm living that life.
Yeah. So, but it's cool. So, all right, well, last game there, Joe, Aladdin.
Yeah, hopefully I'll finish it this week. But if not, I'll probably just go back to Pokemon.
You know, just think, as soon as you're out of Cave of Wonders, it's a whole new world.
Oh, wow. Yes,
that was true. That was a true moment.
Remember
in time.
His name.
Yeah. So, Troy, bring us up.
Well, yeah, you mentioned the cabin and my Switch, both of those things I had with me. With the little battery life I did have, I managed it. This is where I'm at. This is where I'm at, everybody.
It's fine.
This is me.
I blame it on the sickness. It's all.
Yes. I am down with the sickness, like you said. I managed to beat like 3 games. My goal was to start Pokemon Shield.
Mm-hmm.
Did not, because I saw everything on the Switch and I was like, oh, well, I gotta finish Friends of Ringo Ishikawa. I gotta finish my time with Slay the Spire. I gotta finish my time with Windjammers.
Didn't even touch Pokemon.
This is factual. But I got through a lot of games. Baba Is You. Like, I was able to just cross them all off the list.
Nice.
Unfortunately, I took the entirety of my trip. But I'm not here to talk about those games.
No.
Them be old games. I'm here to talk about a new game.
Ooh.
A new release of this year.
New release.
New release. A winner of the Indie Game Award for the Game Awards. It is Disco Elysium.
Nice.
Now, let me run down what Disco Elysium is for you real quick. It is a RPG cop noir dialogue-driven point-and-click adventure game taking place in a fictional futuristic retro take on France. If that was confusing to you, welcome to Disco Elysium.
It's also all in a club.
It's all in one disco.
Yeah.
No, this game is an incredible feat.
Mm-hmm.
It is largely a text-based adventure, but has definitely visuals. You're moving a character around a screen and all of that. And you play as a cop who woke up with amnesia, and you have to remember that you're a cop. You're starting from ground zero. You are you, me, starting this game, not knowing anything about the fiction, not knowing anything about a case, not knowing anything about who I am, and you're piecing it all together. This is a game where you're choosing a lot of you have a lot of decisions, kind of like a choose your own adventure. But the hook with this choose your own adventure is not every choice you make is going to work.
Okay.
And this is where the game for me really gets meaty. Mm-hmm. Is they've incorporated a system that is very close to a tabletop RPG with like dice rolls and character sheets. And when it comes to your decisions, you don't just get to do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You have to roll some dice.
Yeah.
And if you are a very courageous person and you roll the dice and you roll high, then you will do that courageous act. If you're not a courageous person and you roll the die and you don't pass your check, then you will act cowardly or you will fail in whatever you're trying to do. And so what's interesting about it is I could be a very courageous person and roll low and still fail.
Yeah.
And they even show you the percentages. You have a 42% chance of doing this thing. To kind of wrap this all up, or wrap up this concept, your character sheet, which is all of your personality, your intellect, your physical body, your motor skills, mm-hmm. and your empathy. They all come with voices. And the best way to describe it is like Inside Out, the movie, where all the emotions have their own thing and they're like bickering with each other and trying to influence the host inside. So to let you understand what this game is, I'm going to give one example of a decision I made. Since I'm a cop that has lost his memory and kind of seems like a pretty a deadbeat cop, like a bad cop.
Yeah.
Not great at his job. I lost my badge. I lost my gun. I lost my coat. I lost my ledger. I got nothing.
Wow.
So part of this game is just trying to find your stuff. I found my jacket, my police jacket with the insignia on the top of a roof. And the only way to get to that roof was to climb to the top of another roof and then jump over like a police star, like an action, policeman.
Mm-hmm.
I expect my character to be very physical and very like have a lot of flair, be good with hand-eye motor skills. So I was trying to model my cop off of Hopper from like Stranger Things, kind of a blunt instrument.
Okay,
maybe there's a good heart in there, but he's got a lot of issues he's dealing with. So mm-hmm. so that's the role play aspect that I wanted to bring to it. So as soon as I saw my jacket on the other side, my body looks at the distance and the drop, and my body tells me, "You can make that. I totally got you. Like, no, you've been working out. We're good. We can make that jump." And I'm like, all right, okay. So I get like a plus one because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And now I go to like make the jump, and then my savoir-faire. How do you pronounce that?
Savoir-faire.
Yeah, which is kind of like your, I don't know.
Your je ne sais quoi.
What she said. It kicks in, and it's like, you could probably do a backflip. Or like it kind of flavors it to make you feel really confident about it.
Uh-huh.
So I get kind of into it. My body says I can do it. My je ne sais quoi is like, let's jump. I run towards it. I roll the die. I fail it.
Oh, no.
My character stops at the edge and kind of teeters. And then my volition, my voice of the, my volition kicks in and was like, whoa, 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 I'm not doing my job here. I'm sorry, man. You can't make that jump. I'm like, oh, oh, no, no, pull back. You do. You should not be making these decisions. Look, listen to me. I got you. Step off the ledge. We'll try this, you know, let's not try this later. Get to the ground. The ground is safe. So you're making these decisions based on the influence of these characters, which are the voices in your head, which are your personalities.
Uh-huh.
It's incredible. And the dialogue that is going for all of these that are filling in all this flavor is so different and unique. And there's a total of 24 different voices.
Wow.
That you're competing with, all chunked into those main four: intellect, okay, you know, and physical and all that stuff.
Okay.
And that's the crux of this game. You are making decisions with the influence of your body constantly trying to sway you. And then at the same time, what you do matters. If I don't go see someone, or if I don't do something that has a real world impact in the game and how I solve this cop case, mm-hmm, you're trying to, at the end, you're a cop trying to solve a murder. It's a very simple task, but because of your amnesia and the different voices in your head, it becomes such an amazing approach to a very kind of tried and true formula. It's set in a world that is so robust. I looked it up. The developer is Ha Him. There are only 8 people, first of all.
Wow.
Yeah.
And 4 of them went on stage during the Game Awards.
And 4 of them were on stage.
Half of them.
I'm sorry. Their names are Za-Um.
Yeah.
They originally based this off of this guy called Robert Kurvitz, who is the lead writer and designer of Disco Elysium. He's a novelist who previously made this universe for a tabletop RPG and even wrote books in this universe before the game came out. And it shows. That's probably one of the detriments, I would say, in quotations, is when you start in this world, it is so overwhelming with how lived in the world is,
yeah,
that a lot of it you just don't understand, with coalitions and civil wars and backstories and unions, and they hit you with so much of the world state that, like, you are lost. But what makes it okay is that you can role play your character to be lost, mm-hmm, and just be like, none of this makes sense to me, and just be honest. And that's where the game kind of hooks you in. I was planning on making this character like Hopper, just blunt instrument. I'm going to punch things to solve everything. But because of my personal being lost in this world, it's kind of grafting into its own unique character, mm-hmm, that is not Hopper and is not me, but is its own new thing. And that's pretty cool, I think. So, yeah, I'm probably about halfway through. Hopefully I can finish it this week. Yeah, I think it's, from what I've seen so far, definitely worthy of the nomination and definitely
the win.
I mean, I haven't played all the other games in that list.
Outer Wilds.
But, but I can see why it would win, I guess.
Yeah. No, I've heard nothing but good things about Disco Elysium. It's just not a game that I normally like to play, mm-hmm, so I haven't had a chance. All right, I'm not even had a chance. I just haven't played it.
Right. It's daunting.
I'm glad one of us has, though, because I was curious about it.
Yeah.
I just know it wasn't a game for me.
Gotcha.
Question, though. Your personalities, do they also have amnesia?
They're kind of like instinctual. So part of it, some of the personalities will clue you in. I have like a perception that is really high. And sometimes it'll know things without knowing why it knows things.
Okay.
My hand motor skills. Like, I was going to dial a number, and I didn't know what number to call. And so I had to trust in my hand motor skills to just have, like, muscle memory. And so I rolled it. I'm very highly, highly specced in that. So I passed the roll, and then, like, the muscle memory kicked in and dialed the number, but it didn't know why. It just did it. And then when someone picked up, I then had to use dialogue to find out why I called this number. It was a video rental store. Huh. And then I find out, oh, I must live near this video rental store. Okay, now I know. You know, they're like, hey, yeah, you haven't brought this movie back in like 6 years. I'm like, oh, sorry.
That's the number that you instinctually remember. Yeah. Like, that is such a sad life, is that video rental store is the only number that is in your subconscious.
You are hitting the game on the head right now, because that's what everything is. Yeah. It's like, this is what I am. This is who you are.
And
you start thinking these thoughts.
Yeah.
And your character can go into a spiral where it gets real dark.
Yeah.
Or you can be like, nah, F it. I'm a superstar. I don't need to know nothing. And just go about your day. So, like, it does address that, which, mm-hmm, which is fascinating. Like, why is this the number I'm calling?
Nice.
It's, yeah.
That's awesome.
It's fascinating.
Cool. All right. Well, good games, everyone. So now that brings us now to our news segment.
News.
news.
That was very Mario of you.
Yeah.
Oh, that was very Oscar the Grouch of, or yeah. Gravel? Gravel?
Yeah, it's Gravel. You're just Gravel.
No, who's that one Muppet who talks
Cookie.
Like that? Cookie. Cookie. That was very Cookie Monster of me.
What Muppet did you think was called Gravel?
No, I was thinking my voice sounded gravelly, so then I said Grover because of the gravel, but I wasn't. Didn't work out.
Because of the gravelness of your voice, it went to Gravel instead of Grover.
There you go.
So let's get started. Mortal Kombat.
It's law. It's law.
Fine. That is true.
It's the
true.
Law.
Mortal Kombat.
See? That's the addendum to the law.
It is. Is saying, get over here to all the consoles.
Oh, Brian.
And is going to do some cross-play.
Yeah.
So now you're going to be able to play with everyone.
You know, this makes sense. They're doing the Stadia thing, right?
Yeah.
Does that count?
No,
sure.
I don't know. Okay.
I mean, that could make sense.
Yeah.
So, broadening it.
So yeah, you're going to be able to play with everyone, which is nice.
Great.
And then they also made an announcement, or not really an announcement, but they had a new trailer for the Joker DLC.
Right.
Which people had some issues with like 2 months ago when they first introduced it because it was a very clean cut, muscular Joker.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people have been, you know, seen like the new Joker movie and a lot of other things and then Heath Ledger. So they're like, this is like a boy band Joker.
Joker's been working out. He's got some serious gains.
He's got jacked.
Got swole.
Yeah. He's been working out with Jax. but they changed him to more of like a kind of like Murderer Next Door instead of boy band murderer.
Sure.
And so they gave him a little bit more flair, a little bit more.
That's what they're upset about?
Yeah, you know how people
See,
are.
I thought they would have been upset about like, hey, yeah, the Joker was in Injustice 2 a year ago. This is just a rehashing of the same character.
But strangely, it would have probably been better if they just took that Joker and dropped him into this.
That's what it feels like,
but
though.
It didn't look like that. I mean, which is weird.
For me, I'm more interested in the play of it, I guess, than the look.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my main reason of being like, I don't want to play it. I just played a bunch of the Joker in that last game.
I think there's something fun about the cross universe of it. Of just like, we'll bring your favorite character from this over to that. And then he arrived, it was just like, you already have the character model. Just copy and paste it, man.
Yeah. And he'll have his
own
lines.
I'm sure that's not how video games work, but
I do want to see him trash talk Scorpion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, they did that. I mean, it was like a very minor blip of a controversy. It was just one of those like people were like, I don't like it.
Right.
Like the critic, it stinks. That was all. And then also Sony had their State of Play.
They sure did.
And they announced a couple of things there. It wasn't anything too big because, you know, the Game Awards were in a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
But they did announce Resident Evil 3 is doing a remake. That was the big thing.
So Resident Evil 2 remake, one of the biggest games of the year.
It was.
This checks out.
It does.
I thought the RE3 remake was very exciting.
Why?
I don't know if anyone else noticed this, but I was very happy that Jill got pants. her tube top and miniskirt had never really made an impression on me. I still think she should have a jacket since she's fighting zombies, but I'll settle for the pants and combat boots.
It's something.
Yes, it's
literally something to cover.
Oh my goodness.
They also announced that Untitled Goose Game is going to be coming to the PS4.
So yes.
Sweet.
Good for them. They got a... You know, sloppy seconds, good for them. and then let's see here. Kingdom Hearts 3 DLC. They announced it.
Hey, remember when I was going to play all of those games in 1 year?
Yeah.
And then that didn't happen?
It didn't happen.
Nope. Because there's still 3 games left for me to play, and they're all the longest games.
That's all right. You know what? Something for next year.
There you go.
You got 2 weeks.
Nope. I'm not going down that drain. You're talking Detroit from 3 years ago. I'm a different man.
So, but yeah, they announced that. So it's going to be coming out on January 25th. And then the Predator game, Hunting Grounds, got a release date as well.
Is Carl Weathers in it? Then I don't care.
Yeah, fair enough. April 24th is when it's going to be coming out.
You can be Lady Predator, though.
I'm back in. That sounds great.
Yeah. And then they had a teaser of the Ghost of Tsushima.
But a little appetizer.
A little appetizer. And they're like, oh, yeah. And, you know, Game Awards.
Yeah.
That's full thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was basically it. There was a couple other things, but I mean, If you knew about it, you would know about it. That's those types of things.
Say that again, but like as a gangster?
You know some things. You'll know the things.
If you knew about it, then you know about it.
You know about it.
You guys did not use your hands enough to make that gangster?
I mean, thank you.
They would feel it.
If you knew about it, then you know about it.
See? Add the hand. Makes it sound better.
Thank you very much, Joe, as our Italian liaison.
That's what I do.
I can live now. and then Baby Yoda is in games, y'all.
Yep. Do you know I recently found out what the actual name of Baby Yoda is?
What's that?
The Child.
The Child.
Yeah. But no, Baby Yoda's way better.
I know, right?
Everybody knows
that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I fought it for like 2 whole weeks, the first 2 episodes. I was like, nope, going to call him The Child. His name is The Child. I'm not calling him Baby Yoda. I can't do it anymore. Yeah. Baby Yoda's just so much cuter sounding.
Yeah, it is.
The lady in the last episode called him Bright Eyes, and I was like, they should call him Bright Eyes.
I was like, that's the first time someone has like actually named that thing.
Yeah, that thing, man.
Yeah, you heard me.
It's true.
You heard me.
We don't know if it's a boy or a girl, and is Yoda the name of the species, or
nobody
is that just
knows.
His
nobody
name?
Knows.
I'm on Werner Herzog's side. There was a mission. You were supposed to fulfill that mission, and it should have been done. Who knows? There could have been more Baby Yodas at this point. We'll never know now.
We won't, but you know what? He had his own personal code that he did. I don't know why. I'm pointing to myself. But yeah, he's going to be in games. I think he's already in Sims 4, right? And then Minecraft, he's going to be, or you can download him in Minecraft because I think somebody made a little fan thing for it, but I think it's going to be officially coming to it or something like that.
Yes. Yeah.
Baby Yoda's cute. Go for it.
Go for it. It's really adorable.
Yeah.
And if you're not watching The Mandalorian, you should definitely steal someone's Disney Plus and watch it. It's really great.
Yep.
The toys for Baby Yoda have been coming out for the holidays, and they're all terrifying.
Why? Yeah.
They expected it to be kind of a big thing, but not like this big.
Oh.
So everybody's just rushing to get whatever out.
Yeah.
And all the stuff that they can get out now is all horrifying.
It's just not well made.
It's not that they didn't know. They did know it would be a big deal.
Yes.
It's just like Groot. When the little baby Groot was at the end of Guardians, that was a huge deal. And everyone was like, how did we not know? And it's like they on purpose didn't let anyone, they didn't let any toy companies see it. They didn't let anybody see anything. When they listening to Bryce Dallas Howard talk about her, directing her episode, she was like, it was really difficult to get everybody to not look at that puppet. Like they would clear areas. Like they were very secretive about it.
Yeah.
Agreed. Everything coming out now, though, is like that Rush level stuff. So it's got like, you know,
what up,
angry
China?
Looking eyes.
Yeah, because like even like the plushes that are coming out, the head is a vinyl head because that's really quickly to just mold out and get out there. So it's like, oh, I got a plush with a really hard, sharp head because of the ears and everything. It's like, oh, this is terrible.
I'm sure they'll do it right. I'm sure they'll be
absolutely.
Adorable
yeah.
baby.
Yeah.
They should be an actual puppet. They should just sell the puppet.
Oh, my God.
That you can manipulate.
Oh, man. That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great.
You're 100% right on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And then the last little bit of news, Nintendo Indie World had announcements.
The Nindies.
The Nindies. So let's see here. From that, I think the big announcement from that was that Axiom Verge is getting a sequel. Axiom Verge
great.
2.
I hear that was an amazing game.
It was. It actually was. And then also Sports Story, which is the sequel to Golf Story.
Also an amazing game.
Also an amazing game. It's also getting a sequel.
Turn the genre on its head.
Damn right. Skatebird.
What?
Which is Tony Hawk, but what if it's a bird?
What?
Yeah.
I didn't hear about this.
Yeah.
You
Skatebird.
Like fly? You can do more than a 900.
I mean, yeah, you could do whatever you want on that.
You got wings.
You got wings.
Get out of here, Tony. Oh, I get it. Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
They're going for the Hawk.
Oh, they're going. They're going
okay,
there.
Okay, cool.
So, Skatebird. It's going to be coming late next year, which is kind of fun.
Oh, I get it. Skateboard. Oh, man. It hits on all levels.
It does. Skatebird, baby.
Goodness.
Yeah. And then Super Mash, which is a really interesting game.
Oh, Super Smash? Love that game.
Yeah, sure. We'll go with that. Super Mash.
I can't say it now.
Yeah, I know. God, you have ruined me, Troy. Super Mash is coming out on Nintendo Switch.
Finally, a sequel to Mash the series.
Absolutely.
That we've been looking for. The
I
conclusion.
Know, right? The conclusion. It was the most watched finale ever.
You now, thought Suicide was painless.
Now I'm imagining Mash as Super Smash Brothers.
I'm imagining that commercial that me and you and me, but it's actually a helicopter rising above the hill.
Just Donald Sutherland there.
It's got real dark. But basically, it's a game where it literally makes its own games. So it has a whole bunch of different genres. So RPG, beat 'em up, you know, all those other things. And you can put two of them together. It matches them up and it creates a new game that you can play procedurally.
Oh, that sounds fun.
That's a great idea.
What's really hilarious is I thought of this game about 10 years ago.
You slept, Brian.
I had
no
idea how to actually implement it.
You slept.
I actually had this.
All right. Well, we need you to say all your new good ideas right now on the podcast.
So everybody else can make it in 10 years. You got it.
Please. They sound like great ideas.
But it is already released now on the Epic Play Store, though. So on the PC, you can play it right now, cool. Epic Play Store. And then I think that's about it. Everything else was just kind of standard fare. Again, if you wanted to know about it, you'd know about it.
If you want to know, you know.
You know. So it's kind of funny. Oh, one other thing. Boyfriend Dungeon. Boyfriend Dungeon was pretty funny. You go on dates with weapons. So your boyfriends turn into your weapon in a dungeon.
Oh.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's a thing for everybody.
It is.
And this is one of them.
Your weapon levels up as your bond gets better.
I can't judge this game. We played like 20 hours of Hottiful Boyfriend.
We did.
Our boyfriends were pigeons at a high school.
We were very into it.
So like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I can't. I would love to make a joke right now, but I can't.
It's like that, like MASH with like Dream Daddy.
Wow, you really can't get MASH out of your brain. Look, the Vietnam War was a very torrid time in our history.
It really was.
And it made light of it in a wonderful way that helped us cope.
It did. It did. It was good for its time.
It was. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And now we have Super MASH.
Super MASH, bros.
Oh. So that'll do it for this week's news.
But I actually have another little piece of news.
Oh, do you?
I went into Fortnite today.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. My bad.
We were teased that Fortnite was going to have an exclusive Star Wars event featuring J.J. Abrams and all this stuff. I haven't played Fortnite, I think, since Caitlin was on earlier this year to help her out with a quest she had. And so I re-downloaded Fortnite. I jumped in. And first of all, Fortnite is weird. Holy crap. I spent I got a half an hour just watching people like race on pogo sticks and then like dance emote solemn through each other.
A guy was a banana.
There was a banana that started pointing at me and trying to high five, but I don't have the high five emote. So I couldn't high five him back, and then he like orange justiced me and walked away. There was a fish in a toga. it was incredible. But we're all just in the server waiting for something to happen, which is why everyone was just emoting around me.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the platform that we are starts rising in the air, and you get like a gust of wind that like picks you up, and your glider turns into the Whisper like TIE fighter thing, mm-hmm. which is cool. And then you're on this raised platform, and all of a sudden, a button prompt comes up that is like, focus. And I press this button to focus, and it turns me towards the sky, and the Millennium Falcon comes like jarring out of the universe.
Uh-huh.
Out of space, that's what I meant. And then,
it's
same
like
thing.
Rendered Fortnite style.
Yeah.
And there was a huge dog fight in the sky. Hmm. And then it finally finishes. They murder three people, and then it lands. And then Jeff Keighley walks out in a helmet and was just like, hi, I'm Jeff. Well, you all are here. Let me talk to you about something. And then a comedy relief stormtrooper came out that then introduced J.J. Abrams, who came out. And J.J. Abrams was full on rendered Fortnite J.J. Abrams, black hoodie and everything.
Hmm.
And then it just proceeded to be like bad improv for like 10 minutes.
The Game Awards.
it was kind of like the equivalent of like the kids who like found the mic. And they're just like doing this thing, and I'm saying this thing, and oh, I'm gonna emote. And then it was just
it was so funny if you think of like the amount of time it must have taken them to storyboard and create and render like that dogfight between the Millennium Falcon and three TIE fighters, and then they like couldn't be bothered to script 15 minutes of dialogue. Celebrity.
They had everyone vote on what the clip would be that they would show. Mm-hmm. I voted for Darth Jar Jar. My vote did not work.
Boo.
So they showed a quick clip of like Rey and Finn walking down a hallway and using a Jedi mind trick. It was nothing. It was literally nothing.
Yeah.
It might have been like 20 seconds.
Yeah. It was so nothing. Less than nothing. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, well, this was fun. They had a great time. Jeff Keighley and J.J. Abrams and the random stone trooper, they had a fantastic time. Yeah, regardless, they had a wonderful time up there. That was fun to watch. But then they left and they're like, before we go, choose your favorite color for our lightsaber. What's the best color? And purple and red and mm-hmm. green and blue. I stood on purple. And then before it could register, another TIE fighter shot and like busted us off of our choice. Mm-hmm. And then they were like, peace, we got to go shoot down these TIE fighters. And the Millennium Falcon takes off and then it shoots more people and then goes away and was like, well, that was a lot of fun. And then Palpatine's voice comes in and he's just like, yo, my revenge is nigh. And ooh, the Sith will rise again. He's also an old prospector. So he says some garbage and then it's like, boom, everyone gets a lightsaber. And then it's just mayhem.
Is the lightsaber the color that you chose?
Yes.
Yes.
Nice. Yes. And it's just slicing and dicing. And it's just like, it was worth it just for 100 people to get lightsabers at once and just go.
And they're all right next to each other. It's not like they were anywhere on the map. It only took place at this one place, so you had to run to where the screen was. Mm-hmm. So it was 100 people right next to each other.
And it was still a battle royale. Guess what place I got?
First?
Second.
That's pretty awesome, though.
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it.
Especially because he hasn't played Fortnite in like a year.
I put a lightsaber in my hand. You know, it was the Force. It was the Metachlorians within me calling out and channeling it. It wasn't even me. Mm-hmm. It was the Force, man.
Yeah, so you got Darth Maul. You got down second.
Anyway, let's move on to our next topic. You know, Brian.
Yeah, what is that, Troy?
Yeah, as we've discussed, Mandy and I have been pretty under the weather this week. So when it comes to that, what we eat, we want to eat something that's going to be nourishment and that will help get us through this sickness that we have.
Do you ever notice he only has these conversations with you?
He does. He's only ever facing me.
He's the host. He's the guy. You know?
I'm the guy. You know, the guy.
The guy. The guy
who gets the things, you know.
Yeah, you know. If you, you know. You know.
You know.
You know, you know, Mandy.
What, Troy?
When we were sick this week.
I remember that.
We were trying to find some food that would really nourish us.
We were so hungry.
So hungry, but we couldn't just eat anything because we have to think about our illness. You know,
I know, what's our throats were sore and
so
such.
Like, what can we? We're still sick. You know, we tried a delicious dish and it didn't work.
Oh,
Slim
my
Jims.
Goodness.
Eat all the Slim Jims.
You tried Slim Jims. It didn't work.
No?
Oh. Yeah, that is such a good question, Troy. I'm glad you asked me.
Thank you for thanking me.
You're welcome.
Now we also tried a very meaty meal and it didn't work, Mandy. What else could we possibly try?
Like a daring dish?
Ooh, maybe a daring dish? That is a great idea.
Thank you.
All right. What about like some fallacious food?
Tasty topic.
Thank you. I really wanted the gym to make it tasty topic. Would you just stop the tasty topic?
Did you go to fallacious?
I don't know, man. I didn't want to say fellatio.
That's where you were going. I was like, oh, back it up. Back it up.
Why couldn't I think of any other word? Any other adjective that starts with
I was going to go with a luscious lunch.
A fast food? A fearsome food? No, a fallacious. That's not even a word, I don't think.
But it's tasty a, topic.
A tasty yes. topic.
Oh, say it again. Say it again. Say it again.
Tasty topic.
Ooh.
So this week's tasty topic, the topic that we sink our teeth into a little more than others, is going to be about the Game Awards, which transcended this Thursday. We all watched it separately.
We did, even though we were texting back and forth.
Right. We were going to have a big to-do. I was going to dress in a tuxedo.
Yeah.
Joe was going to make a parfait or two. Like, it was going to happen.
It was.
Mandy was going to... What were you going to do?
She was going to bring a parasol.
I was.
Yeah, you're going to watch it like you would watch the 500, the Kentucky 500 with the mint juleps and the parasols.
Kentucky Derby.
Ah, there it is.
Or the Indy 500.
You took NASCAR. NASCAR and horse racing and melded them into one event.
The parallels are there. I mean, one is derivative of the other. But anyway, we watched the Game Awards and had a good time. I would say a good time.
Yeah.
Maybe not an awesome time, not a bad time, but a good time. So we wanted to have our Tasty Topic kind of going over some of the highlights, some of the winners. Generally talking about the Game Awards this year.
Yeah, let's go with that. Let's go with the clear winner was All of Us with Green Day.
Ooh, Green Day rocked the house.
Which was really good because it was so before that.
I would have been okay watching the show, but to actually have gone to the awards, to sit in the audience and then have what was mostly trailers presented to me with like sparsely fitted in with like awards, for Green Day to come out and like not care about any of that and just bring a lot of electricity, that audience needed it. I was happy for that audience to like get out of their seat and cheer for something. I mean, they were cheering all night for but Green Day was definitely a highlight. And Jeff Keighley, the host, he was talking them up the whole time. And at one point I was like, all right, Jeff, we get it. Green Day's coming. But you know what? Worth it.
Oh, yeah.
worth the hype.
We needed them.
We all needed them.
We all needed them. And it was great because it was also great seeing like all the developers like giddy. Woo!
I
get to run up.
I can stand a little closer to Norman Reedus.
Yeah. Ooh, hi, Kojima. Touch. but it was pretty cool to see them. That was, I think, the highlights, which is sad that it was a musical thing, was the highlight of a Game Awards.
I think there were a couple highlights.
But no, there definitely was. Yeah. What was your highlight?
Let's see. One of my highlights, I would say, I love the way that they showcase the game developers from countries where it's hard to develop games.
Yes.
Last year, they had someone from Africa who was a refugee who had made a game, and then they not only followed up with him on how his game did, but also introduced a new game that has microtransactions. It's a phone game, but those microtransactions are donating actual goods to real people who need them.
Yeah.
Like, duh.
Yeah.
Like, so smart. So I really enjoyed, they had about five different, it was a Gaming for Good segments. Yes. Each of which were really inspirational. Every time like the music queued up, I'm like, oh crap, okay, in 2 minutes this is gonna make me tear up. Bring it on. And this poor girl and everything she's gone through. And I like that they have a portion of the Game Awards just for that. I think that's cool.
I agree. I kind of wish it wasn't sponsored, but I get why it was sponsored.
It's like Facebook Presents.
Yeah, it's Facebook Presents. Yeah, then Omen by HP also had their own segments.
I loved Omens.
Yeah.
Every single one of those was awesome.
Yeah, and that one was about all the indie games and how that impacted that actual creator.
And I was gonna say some of the content creators too. It was nice.
And it was interesting. So they even had the one with the one note writing game.
Kind Words.
It had a really
yeah. really had awesome little thing.
And that was really cool. I agree. That was awesome. Amanda, any highlights for you?
I'm going to sound like a jerk after Troy's.
Sorry.
I really liked Beaker and Untitled Goose.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Muppets came out. I was like, well, one, Benson and Beaker can do no wrong. If you put Benson and Beaker on stage, those two are professionals and they're going to handle it wonderfully. And then you put Beaker next to Untitled Goose and obviously it's magic. The only thing that wasn't absolutely perfect about it is they were presenting like a really serious award.
Yeah.
It was just a little weird.
It was like the Impact Award, the awards for games that are dealing with heavy issues, whether it's mental health or even in past, like that Dragon Cancer won the Impact Award.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going to have Beaker and Benson like sincerely?
I was actually really afraid because, you know, because I think Gris won, right?
Yes.
And so they come up onto the stage and then the goose actually honked. And I was like, oh God, please don't have this goose honking during their acceptance speech.
No.
Like, I was like, oh no. But thankfully it was just the one and they had fun with it. And then they went on. But yeah, I agree. I was like, I get that maybe they wanted to make it a little bit more lighthearted, but I mean like, no, this is this award. You can make everything else lighthearted, but have this one like actually have an impact on
any other award. So weird. Any other award.
Yeah. It was weird. The other thing I was kind of disappointed with is that they didn't actually release like a fun little, like, you can have Beaker as the, you know, inside your game in the Untitled Goose Game. Like, I thought that would have been funny.
It was just a tease.
I tweeted it immediately, and then checking the Twitter was just a full, like, hundreds and hundreds of comments of people being like, wait, is this real? Oh, it's not real. This is disappointing.
Yeah.
Brought us up and then let us down.
Right down. Then they brought the goose in there, which was fun.
Yeah, Gris is a game about heavy personal loss.
Yeah.
And then it's like...
It's also really weird because Gris is also a non... It's a non-combat game. There's no violence in it.
Really?
And then Call of Duty Modern Warfare has a Gris gun. It has a skin that you can, a Gris skin that you can have on your guns. And it's like, this is...
Gotta pay them bills.
This is dumb. This is actually dumb. Okay.
Right, pay them bills.
Right. Yeah.
But the comedy bit was very good.
Yes, yes. It was very good.
They're clowning.
The Muppets are still good.
Oh, yeah.
Turned out.
And surprisingly relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Joe, what about you?
My favorite thing that happened was Super Smash Brothers winning best, I think it was fighting game or something beginning.
Yeah.
Before it even started, it was in the pre-show. Mm-hmm. That was when they gave that award out, and I was very happy about that. And then,
did it? It won that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It won, where is it? Best Fighter.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, Smash Brothers Ultimate. I was very happy about that because there was every one of the awards this year, I do think the competition was very stiff this year.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
There was probably, out of the handful of games that were in each category, I had played at least one of them usually, or I had seen a whole lot of a couple of them, and wow, the competition was so harsh.
Like,
It almost didn't matter which game won because it absolutely deserved to be there.
The nominations in each category, I think, were really well-deserved. You could really... tell that the journalists that voted on them
really
they know what they're talking
about. And, you know, surprisingly.
I was very happy about it. And I think probably my giddiest moment was hearing the Bravely Default music start up.
Uh-huh.
And I was am I going to get another one of those beat games? It's not, but I was still really excited because I love that music.
They get music right in those games.
Oh, they do. So beautiful.
Oh, man. Could you imagine the rhythm of Bravely Default?
Because we have that... the one from Japan that has
we have
a bunch
the
of
Dragon Quest one, yeah.
And it's, oh man, it's so good. It's so freaking good. So I heard that and I was like, please, please just be another Thief Rhythm. Please, please.
It was funny when they announced that because they were like, Bravely Default 2. And I was like, didn't they already have a Bravely Default? But they didn't. They have Bravely Default, Bravely Second.
Yes.
And now this is Bravely Default 2, which is not Bravely Second.
Oh. So it's technically Bravely Default 3.
Yes. But it's the third one, but the second one.
The most classic Japanese crap to do.
Yeah.
But we're all missing the true highlight of the Game Awards.
Oh.
You know, the actual, real, true, best of the best highlight.
What's that?
It is Akumi Nakamura when she came out.
She is the best.
She's a treasure. We don't deserve her.
We don't. And
please bear with me.
Bear with me.
Oh, God. Oh. It was the best.
We must protect her at all costs.
I did find it not tasteless, but a little tasteless after that. They showed the 5-minute Ghost of Tsushima trailer, which is what she was let go of.
Oh, I didn't think about that. I didn't know she was working on that. I thought she was working on an Evil Within thing.
No, she was Ghost of Tsushima. She's the one that introduced them, and that's where the spooky came from.
Oh, I thought that was a different game for some reason.
No, I was pretty sure it was that one.
Okay.
And so that was like the big thing of the night. I was like, that's okay. She's great.
She's very cute.
Yeah.
I love when they showed her in the audience and she was still like ridiculously full of life and bouncing around. It was great. Every time they showed her.
She posted on Twitter after the event that she was sitting next to
Elon Musk.
Yeah, Elon Musk. And she's like, I didn't ask him for a Tesla. She's like, please give to me as Christmas present.
You know, he's probably just in his mansion smoking a joint, like, okay.
All right. I threw one in space.
Yeah,
I've done worse things.
Way worse things. I'll give you a Cybertruck. Let's go. That was very cute. I was very happy to see her also do the art direction award.
The more awareness she is out there, the more that she will be working for somewhere.
Yes.
And I want whatever she makes.
Yeah. Yeah. So any award that you guys really enjoyed or that you thought really deserved it.
I think Kojima winning Best Direction for Death Stranding is well deserved. I mean, whether you like the game or not, everything in that game is intentional.
Yeah.
And thought out. I mean, you may not agree with the direction.
Yeah.
But he directed the hell out of that.
That was a game. Story. That was definitely a story. And like Joe had
didn't
mentioned
win for
earlier,
best writing.
It did not. But like Joe had said earlier, like every single game that I saw that won pretty much, or any award that I saw that won, I was like, even though I personally was hoping for something else, I completely see that winning.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like almost every single one was like, oh yeah, that's fine. I get it.
Mm-hmm. Strangely enough, I was always like, oh, I didn't play that one. Oh, I didn't play that one either.
Right.
Oh, I didn't play that.
Yeah.
That I watched happens. Troy play that one. So it says a lot about the type of games that I play.
Uh-huh. It happens.
I did. There was one that I disagreed with very wholeheartedly, and it's not because I think it was Death Stranding won, I think, best composition, music composer.
Yeah,
and I
think soundtrack. Yeah.
Soundtrack, I want to say.
Yeah.
I don't recall what the other game was. I think it was either Fire Emblem or
Breath of the Wild.
Breath of the Wild was one of them. It wasn't Breath of the Wild.
Cadence of Hyrule.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. I was very disappointed that that's what won over Cadence of Hyrule. And I kind of, to a degree, I kind of understand because most of that music, yes, it was already created and they had just repurposed a lot of music we already knew. But it's like the very core of the game is music. I do not think Death Stranding, I do truly believe if you turned all the sound off, you'd still have a great time playing that game and not really, it's not that you wouldn't miss anything, but you really aren't missing something. Whereas
It's not that game isn't made by the music.
No, but Cadence of Hyrule,
supported by,
as a person who played it on silent a lot, I completely was missing so much of that game because I barely play with any sound on unless I'm playing Dr. Mario. Yeah. I don't really play with sound on.
Yeah, my money was on Cadence. I thought that was it. But when Death Stranding won, I didn't replayed the moments where they do kind of play a soundtrack. And it's one of those things where it kind of comes out of nowhere and it's just, it's designed in a way where you're looking at a landscape and then this music comes in that perfectly fits it. And it wasn't a cutscene. It wasn't a thing. I just had my own thoughts and they somehow matched that with this song. And it is very cool how they integrate that so subtly. It just kind of happens.
It was.
They were also performing at the event. It would have been sad if they lost.
Yeah.
That's true. Although I would have loved to hear some Kenny Tahirul up there.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
That really wasn't even a performance. That was a music video.
Yeah, it was like first a performance and then just a video. Yeah. Like the rest of the Game Awards.
Yeah, exactly. just like the Cyberpunk 2077 one. That one was literally just a music video.
Yeah, exactly.
I was really excited for that. It wasn't like a, not the performance, but when they showed the different clips of the different people who were making all like super modern tech music that's going to come out with the game, where they had like the 8 different artists all with entirely different styles and how they were all going to make music between like actual like music that you hear that is a part of like the world versus like the background music. I think that, I mean, I'm already excited for that game, but the preview of that sounded really awesome.
Yeah. And then got to give it up to Flute Fro as well.
Oh man, he killed it.
He did.
This dude with the fro who played the flute. In a different life, that guy is me.
Yeah.
I am him. In a different life.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved during the when they were doing the game of the year announcement, the very last award.
Oh yes, yeah.
That was that entire long whatever it was and how flowed
the
into
music.
Each one of the,
oh,
yeah, the music, the actual showing the
game. They kind of musically introduced or reviewed
all the
Game of the Year nominees.
Yeah, and then when Control came up and that one dude came out and was singing Nordic or whatever it was, Swedish, I was like, oh my God, that's actually coming out of him. Like
that
sound is coming out of this person live on stage. Wow.
Loved it. Loved it.
But
Game of the Year, the game that did win Game of the Year is Sekiro Shadows Die Twice. Which we talked a bunch about with Zach earlier this year. And for everything he said, like that is just a well-made game.
It is. Although I do feel like that game is the Marissa Tomei of winners.
How so?
Because I think all the other games split up the vote so much that I think the Sekiro, the From Software, like diehards, journalists voted for that.
Right.
And I think all the other games split up the votes.
The other games were Control, Resident Evil 2, Smash Brothers Ultimate, Death Stranding, and The Outer Worlds.
Yeah. And not that Sekiro doesn't deserve it.
Right.
I just think that that's what happened.
Yeah. And it was also kind of like the choice where no one will be really upset.
Yeah.
if Death Stranding 1, everyone would have been really like, oh my gosh, or Resident Evil 2, 1, have been like, they already made this game, or yeah, whatever. Yeah. But like Sekiro Shadows Die Twice is legitimately a good game.
Oh, yeah.
No
one
can really be angry about it, I guess.
But absolutely.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah. So, any last final thoughts? Or?
I think you said, Joe, one thing that kind of teased me of the Game Awards. You announced that the Smash Brothers won the Fighter Awards. I totally missed that. Because a lot of these awards they had, they didn't really present them.
No.
They just kind of read them off. Didn't have anybody accept them. Didn't have anybody. They even put up like a. Didn't even put up a picture after saying each one. They just read them off a list and then said who won and then moved on. Maybe they might have someone step onto their side stage to accept.
But you missed the best part of the Game Awards.
What was that?
The Wolf Among Us 2 trailer.
Oh.
The game we were going to get and then weren't going to get and now we're going to get again.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was amazing for two reasons. One, because we're actually going to get that game, which is going to be great. But also, what's happening? I want to know the story behind what's going on. How they didn't work out and then it did work out and now it's kind of
And I think therein lies my conflict with the Game Awards is like, the Wolf Among Us trailer comes out. I'm totally jazzed. This is awesome. Like, it's an advertisement for a game.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm totally behind it. The Xbox new Xbox Series X
Series
got
X.
announced.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. We got to see what the new Xbox looks like. I'm totally over this. I'm totally for this, not over this.
Yeah,
I'm for
it.
But then also it's like, hey, buy this LED TV. Here's like 3 or 4 ads and commercials for it. And, or even more so than that.
More so.
This is like the most like ad-driven, commercial-heavy Game Awards I think that I remember seeing.
It definitely was. And it also the length as well.
Yeah, it was like 3 hours, I think.
Yeah, it was almost 3 hours.
And it all kind of felt like a long commercial. And some commercials I loved, like Wolf Among Us.
Yeah.
But other commercials, I was just like,
the ones you saw more than once.
Yeah.
I guess I like the big reveals. I really do. But I really want to come to the Game Awards to, like, learn more about the developers and to, like, see them and to, like, see what they have to say and see them acknowledged for their work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's kind of my main draw to it.
Yeah, because it used to be Jeff Keighley would go around to all these independent studios and you'd be like, oh, hey, I really like this trailer. I really like this game. Yeah, I have this Game Awards. You know, I want to, you know, invite you guys out and, you know, to show a trailer. And that's mostly what it was. It was actually him traveling around, seeing all these different games and him going, oh, you guys deserve exposure. You know, let me do that. And that's what it kind of was before. And now there was a couple of those, but this was mostly just like, either the big announcements, like you said, or it was companies paying to have a trailer, which I do get. But it's not like this is on like NBC. This is an internet thing.
Right.
And so I do think it the Game Awards for me are more indie based. Like, oh, this is something I have never seen before. Something that I probably wouldn't have seen without the Game Awards.
Right.
Do you think we're just really spoiled because we have Netflix and we don't have to watch commercials anymore? And it wasn't that really commercials, but now we're just so used to not seeing good commercials that even one commercial is just like, ugh.
As a person who watches a lot of YouTube and I refuse to pay for YouTube Red, I know I don't mind commercials. In fact, I'm one of those jerks that lets it autoplay, and if it's a 2-minute commercial, that's cool. I don't care.
Yeah.
I will say, however, I do completely, I was so disappointed that they did, I think, 3 awards back to back, and it really was just read off a list, say who won, and read off the next list, say who won. When they got to Mads Mikkelsen winning for best actor.
Yeah, acting best performance.
Like, oh my gosh, like there was no time, from my understanding. Like there was just no time spent on any of that. Like,
I can only think that he didn't come. That they would have announced that live, but he wasn't available.
Yeah, maybe.
So no one could accept the awards. They were just like, we'll just skip over it.
Yeah, but I guess I'm looking for the balance. Like, commercials aside, like, it's a game with new release trailers or trailers for premieres.
Mm-hmm.
But I want more of the game side of it. Yeah. Even if Mads Mikkelsen wasn't there, I would love him to read Ashley Burch's name, show a clip from her doing the performance, and be like, you did a great job.
Yeah.
And may not win, or maybe Mads isn't there and he either writes a thank you note or has a PR person, or maybe he just said he couldn't make it and they move on. But at least like give some time to acknowledge some really great work that was done instead of just reading it and moving on.
Yeah. It would have been cool had they done, and I hate saying this, like what the Oscars do, where it shows you the people in the audience or it shows you a picture of the.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been cool if really all it could have been is the logos of the people who developed those games. You could literally
clip from the games,
like give us a little bit more of why these things won, so that people watching this who may be just sitting in the room with their friends who don't really play video games, who aren't really jazzed about this, can see something that might actually really pull people in and be like, wow, that looked really cool. What was that?
that?
I think that's the point of the Game Awards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I was just going to say, like, especially with the performance aspect, I think it would have been amazing to show the clip of it in game next to them doing the mocap. Whatever,
right,
you know,
yeah.
showing like them doing like, it, like behind
dig
the scenes
deeper
stuff.
And,
like actually showing, oh, this is what this person looks like in real life and what they're able to do with this game.
Yeah, but
and
that sounds
who this
like
looks
work.
Like. I know, right? Who's gonna pay for that?
It does sound
LED
like
LED TVs.
Yeah, right. QLEDs. Yeah. I do think that that partially also might not be a thing because if it is a smaller developer, it's possible that they never recorded anyone doing any of this background stuff.
Sure.
It's very possible that it's just a matter of we don't have that footage to share. I only believe that with the smaller developers, though. Whereas anything that was actually mass produced, which a ton of the games and a lot of the categories were actually like, these are big, practically movie studio like level stuff.
Right.
You know they have background footage.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I agree with you. I wish it would just be something more of a production, less of a commercial.
Yeah, the caveat is this is only their fifth year. Like, that takes a long time to make award shows are already hard to watch, and to try and reinvent the award show and make it something new and fresh.
Yeah,
that's a tall order even within the 5 years that they've done it.
It is, and I do commend them for keeping the Xbox announcement under wraps.
That's big.
That was actually really, really huge of them to actually keep that under wraps that nobody knew that was going to happen.
Yeah,
good for them. Although. It's a really unfortunate name because people are already naming it the Xbox Sex.
Oh, I talk about that later.
Yeah. It's like Series X. Ooh, that's already saying it, just
right
saying
there.
Series X.
The last
Series
one was X. The X-Bone, right?
Yeah, the last one was the X-Bone. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's what they're going for.
Yeah, just not good with this.
Hey, you know, we're not here to shame.
Using X twice is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The X Series X.
Can you imagine the next one? It'll be three X's. That's we're going to like dangerous territory. Microsoft, what are you doing? No parent's going to buy that for their kid. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Xbox XS X's.
Yeah.
What if it was the Xbox XS?
There it is.
In excess, so it'd just be the songs playing.
No, Green Day.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. Well, it's a good tasty topic.
Yeah.
Nicely done. And then now that brings us to our Dragon of the Week.
Doom, 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 doom. It's the Dragon of the Week. Yeah, it's so weak. It's the Dragon of the Week. I'm sick. I do this on top of my head. It's not weak. It's strong. You finish it.
Dragon of the Week.
Dragon of the Week. That's horrible on two sides because either I just rhymed weak with weak, or it's like weak as in like not strong.
I went
neither
with
of which
weak
are
as
good.
In not strong.
Neither of which are good.
Yeah, you're just being weak.
Dragon of the Week. Thank you, Brian. There you go. You finished it.
This is not the rhyme that you seek.
See, all right. One of these days,
it's not going to be me.
Aw.
I did it 1 week when you were gone. We knew how that turned out. Let's not revisit that.
Fair enough.
So, Troy, you have our Dragon of the Week this week, right?
Hey-yo. Yep. So, since this week we watched Game Awards, I thought it would make sense to talk about the main creative force behind it, the one, the only, the Canadian, Jeff Keighley.
Is he Canadian?
He might have mentioned that.
He loves telling people that he's from Canada, and that's fine.
I was telling Joe it was really weird that he didn't mention the Canadian band Green Day. I was like, really? He didn't even say
it was
Canadian?
Funny as he was hosting people and mentioning, oh, they're from Canada, that he kind of caught himself about halfway through the show being like, I'm saying that a lot. Yep, don't care.
Yep,
I'm not going to stop, though.
I am Canadian. You're Canadian. We're proud to be Canadians. Yeah. Let's do the Canadian thing.
Yeah.
Jeff Keighley, not to be confused with Jeff Knightley, Brian,
which is what I always say.
Yep. Is mostly known these days for his work organizing and hosting the Game Awards, which just finished its 5 years of existence under his leadership. Jeff has spent his career advocating for gaming and for it to be a legitimate force of or source of art entertainment. But also has been a defender of like worry warts bent on trying to trivialize or misrepresent video games in the mainstream. So let's start kind of at the beginning of his career.
All right.
Jeff kicked off his video game reporting career at an event called Cybermania 94, the Ultimate Game Awards.
That's so mid-90s.
Yeah, right?
That is so mid-90s.
Just to show how 90s it was, this show was hosted by celebrities. You can find it on YouTube, I think.
Uh-huh.
The hosts were Leslie Nielsen from Naked Weapon.
Yeah.
And Naked Gun. And JTT, Jonathan Taylor Thomas, from Home Improvement. Those were the hosts.
Nice.
And it had just all the 90s celebrities you could want.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, someone wanted to make a games award. But they were so underprepared for this that they didn't have a writer to write the flavor text. So, like, if Street Fighter was coming up and Will Shatner was there, there was no one to write how to introduce it.
Mm-hmm.
So Jeff's dad knew the producer of doing this. And the producer looked at his dad and was like, hey, do you know someone who knows about video games? I'm doing this video game thing. Do you know anyone? I need, like, a video game person. Mm-hmm. And his dad's like, my son? Can you get him? Can you get him to come in to fly out to Texas or wherever doing it? And he's like, he's 14. And he's like, yeah, okay. And they did.
What?
So at age 14, Jeff Keighley was writing the flavor text for the celebrities to read. Like, you know, mm-hmm. This next game packs a lot of punch. Here's Street Fighter 2 or whatever.
Nepotism.
Pretty much. So it was, he did it. Like, he was in the games awards business since he was a kid.
Uh-huh.
And so he kind of noted, like, since then, that really ignited his dream to try and make the Academy Awards for gaming one day. Because
mm-hmm.
after that experience, you know, what else are you going to do?
Yeah.
But this inspired him to try and meld the games of video or the worlds of video games and television together. Seemingly, it was a conquest to bring the two together. He worked on channels from everything from Comcast's G4 network to MTV, Spike TV. He even did a segment on the Discovery Channel. He tried to do a lot of things looking at the development of games, especially the last rush he was trying to, like, capture, as well as big launches. He was really big into getting Ozzy Osbourne and Linkin Park to, premiere, the latest NFL Madden game or something. He wanted to spruce up the launch, to get people excited about games, to get people... Yeah. In the mainstream, interested.
Yeah. Get into the pop culture aspect.
He really, what he's trying to do, he tends to want to elevate the medium of games by getting, like, respect for the people, by also getting respect for the people behind the games.
Okay.
And to do that, he saw the allure that the mainstream has. If you can get video games into the mainstream, it'll legitimize it. People will see that there are real people behind it. It may get celebrities into it. So he kind of worked to try to make that happen. He saw MTV's Behind the Music and thought, why don't they have this for games, pretty mm-hmm. much? And that's what he started working on with the Discovery Channel and MTV itself, to try and make a Behind the Music for the games. So he became a face of video games in the late 2000s. And was even deemed a video game expert by people who don't know video games. And they're like, well, this guy's got, he's on TV talking about video games. He must be an expert.
He's wearing a suit jacket.
Yeah. He knows a thing about the games. He famously went on Fox News. So this all culminated for him going on Fox News in 2008 to debate the dangers that Mass Effect and its sex scene had on the youth.
The dangers?
The dangers. This Ooh. Was in 2008, Fox News. In that segment, Fox News, which they named the segment Sex Box, which should be the next name of the Xbox.
Yeah.
Sex Box.
Well, it is Xbox Sex.
Yeah. I can't fault them for that. They brought on a psychologist who warned that because video games are for adolescent boys, video games are for adolescent boys.
Yeah.
This game will only teach them to objectify women. And that the game only depicts women as something valued for their sexuality, since, as she noted, especially since you play as a man. To which Jeff simply replied, so have you actually played Mass Effect? And the lady, like, she lashed, like, oh, no. And then he was right up, like, you play as a man or a woman. And, like, very...
Also, you can totally objectify aliens.
Yes, and men.
And men. You can objectify whoever you want. It's a video game.
And he very kind of calmly debated this person. And it was actually, like, a nice turning point, because it was on Fox News mainstream. They brought him on here thinking he was going to be a joke.
Mm-hmm.
And then he very much, like, shut them down by being very educated in what it is, and mm-hmm. then retorting what they were saying about being like, hey, what you're saying is incorrect. That is not what you do. You know, there was not full frontal nudity in this game. This takes up 2 minutes of what is, you know, a 60 plus hour game. It is sophisticated. And he also talked about how it actually is good for people to play, because you don't just have sex with someone. It takes a relationship. You build a relationship in that game. You talk to them. You get to know them. You see what their interests are and what your interests are. I mean, when it first came out and people were discovering it, you know, that's,
oh, yeah.
You had to really care about those characters to even get to this scene. And he even mentioned that people play the game and that they don't have this scene at all.
Yeah.
So he like explained all this. And they were just like not having it. They weren't having any type of educated talk about video games at all. They want him to go pew 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 Nintendo. And so they just weren't ready to hear what he was saying. The host was kind of being okay about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just had a panel just going after him after he left and just shut down everything he said and just totally trivialized games and totally talked about how, you know, this is going to be, you know, this is going to ruin adolescent boys and how we have to be worried and how, you know, my kid plays a princess game and I don't even understand it. Like it was that level of like, silliness.
I'm just saying, they could have picked many other games.
I know, it was 2008. Yeah, like, Grand Theft Auto exists.
Yeah.
They got bored of talking about it.
Yeah, I guess so. But I think that interaction sums up a lot of what I found to be Jeff's passion in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
He really wants to bring people who are in the dark, like, to the table and say, hey, look, this is video games.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what you've heard, what you've been told, what people are saying about it. Like, no. I'm just going to show you what it is and let you see that it is sophisticated. It has nuance. It is not just for children or mm-hmm. not just for adolescent boys.
Yeah.
You know, he wants to really bring it to the forefront. And I think that's great.
Would you say he's had a massive effect on people?
Oh, wow. Nice, Brian.
Thank you. Thank
Anytime you.
You
want to just throw those over.
Every now and
continue,
then.
Continue.
9, so. 8,
oh, no,
7.
No. We don't count. I stopped counting.
Sorry, okay.
I stopped counting after college.
Okay.
So he went on to start producing for Spike TV's Video Game Awards, which was the old Video Game Awards that Spike would come. And that had like Samuel Jackson and Jack Black. And it was just celebrity on celebrity on celebrity just being like, whoa, check out these games. You know, here's the indie game presented by Mountain Dew. Like, that was Spike's Video Game Awards. And
I watched those.
Oh, me too. I loved them.
Yeah, I loved them.
I was just happy they were on.
Same.
Yeah.
I was excited it was on like an actual channel.
Yeah,
it was
right?
I lived for that.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was fun to see people who don't play games announce games. It was like, you didn't even pronounce that right.
Oh, yeah. it was the best.
So he was an executive producer there from 2006 to 2013. And he left in 2013 because he felt that that the show had become more commercial and promotional rather than celebrity and video game achievement. And decided that he should go make his own thing that is not that. Now, I watched a few interviews with him, and what he has made since then, although we were just talking about how it's too commercialized, is pales in comparison to what the Spike TV videos were. And he kind of saw those as like an evil that must be done, because it was like, hey, we want to get the mainstream interested, and the TV person are just being like, well, what was the biggest movie this year? Pay them as much as you want and get them to talk about video games. That'll mm-hmm. get people into it. Let's have, you know, TLC do this dance and whatnot. And while that like made him grit, because he would rather have developers on stage talking about their games, he knew that it was like a means to the end of just anything to just get people to realize the game awards or that games are more significant than not to be trivialized. But that being said, he has run into some controversy with that, with the idea of what we're talking about, the game awards just feeling kind of like one long ad instead of really delving into who the developers were. Also, he tends to have an air of a little bit of elitism among like getting the reviews in his world premieres, and people have, you know, critiqued him of being very close friends with the people that he is promoting, and how mm-hmm. there can be a little bit of a conflict. Because at the root of this, he started as a video game journalist, and he still does journalism. He still writes. He still does interviews. He still does, you know, some deep dives on things.
He's still an ambassador.
He's still an ambassador.
Yeah, an ambassador of games.
He's an what? Okay.
Yeah, he ambassadors games.
He ambassadors. To which, with all this stuff, I feel a little iffy about. I think, like, if you're a journalist, like, I don't want you to not be friends with people in the games industry. Like, yes, there should be honesty and there should be, a line. But I also don't think, like, you have to hate and not become friends with the people that you are covering. I don't know.
Yeah, don't talk to the people, but don't like them.
Yeah.
You can like them, but don't let them like you back.
Yeah. That train of thought can get a little iffy for me.
Yeah, it does. It very much so does.
But I think in the end, like, what he's doing is great. He even talked about how, you know, hey, this is only our fifth year. Can you imagine what the Game Awards will be down the road? He's like, think of what the Academy Award was. Academy Awards were in their fifth year. It was still just like a small party, you know, in Hollywood somewhere. So it is good that it is so big. It is something that I'm definitely watching every year. I'm happy to see where it will go. Hopefully some of the things we talked about will get integrated. I'm sure we're not the only people saying them.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Yeah.
I mean, Vin Diesel presented the last award. There. Vin Diesel was, I know.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
That was another
highlight.
I don't
know if he knew he was there. I feel like the first 5 minutes were just like, hey, buddy, focus. But we're right here. Hey.
He's like, hey, I got to plug my movie.
Vin Diesel just got up there to have a regular conversation with Michelle Rodriguez that he would have anywhere else.
Yes, yeah. I really loved that the microphone was still really, really low. And at some point, it was after like 2 minutes of talking about other stuff with her, essentially, and how this is their people. Yeah. And then he's like, they're waving at me to stop bending down. But it's really awkward to not. They're saying the sound picks up from up here, but I don't feel like it does. It's like, you've never presented anything in your life, have you, sir? I saw your Street Sharks video. You can do this. What's happening here?
You know what? I was okay with that. Right. I liked him being a little off the cuff there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a cool thing. Is slowly, I feel like his passion for trying to I guess bring celebrities into gaming as a way to bring gaming to more people, mm-hmm. Is slowly working. Yes. I mean, Norman Reedus this year, through what he's learned from Hideo Kojima and their partnership with Guillermo, like, mm-hmm. the gaming world is diversifying.
Oh yeah.
And it's incorporating more than just the crew that we've been rolling with for, you know, the past decades.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's not just, you know, Jack Black up there presenting because they paid him.
Right.
It's people who do.
Which he wouldn't.
Which, yeah.
Yeah, he's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. He absolutely would. And he'd probably kill it. However, it is actually people who are into the video games. Like Vin Diesel, he has his own video game studio that he made. He's made the Chronicle of Riddick Butcher Bay.
Right. Great game.
And now he's making the Fast and Furious game.
Or it's bringing in talent that are being honest about it. Like Keanu Reeves being like, I'm sorry it took us this long, but I'm happy to be here now. Like, I'm not here to tell you that I've been gaming my whole life and I'm just one of you all.
Yeah.
This would be like, God, we slept on this. Yeah. But we're here now and let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's cool.
Agreed. And the Game Awards, I do think, is helping with it. Very much so.
So thanks, Jeff.
Yeah.
Keep doing you, bud.
You do you. Nepotism.
Yeah. Can you imagine being 14 and writing for William Shatner?
Actually, yes,
I
could.
Did you put pauses in his writing?
I was going to say, I absolutely could. It wouldn't be very good, but it'd be something.
You know what? It would be something.
Something.
What's next? Category. Paxa. Punch.
Hi, you can. Oh, man. Yeah, good dragon there. Good dragon. So, unfortunately, that brings us to the end of this episode.
Let's get him a rinky dinky dink.
Let's get him a rinky do.
Oh, you know. Yeah. Well, you know.
I love you.
Oh, wow. I feel so warm now. Thank you.
You should.
That's the sickness.
Oh, damn. You're right.
It is. We will have a new episode of Drew's News tomorrow.
Drew's News. You got to sound fun. No, I like your whisper. Drew's News.
That was completely on the spot.
It
was hilarious.
It should be ghostly, though. It should be like, Drew's News.
Like Kristen Wiig saying.
Nothing supernatural in this game. Yeah. I don't care. I'm for it.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll have one of those up tomorrow, hopefully. If not the next day. We got a little setback by the sickness.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes.
We should be able to have that
We should have it up by tomorrow.
Thanks, Joe.
No problem.
I got you, fam.
I'm saying no problem because it's me.
We're going to be playing video games.
Video games.
I mean, creating content.
That's way better. Way better. As always, we record live upstairs inside of Tate's Comics, powered by our friends for 2000 Brigade. you can also find us online.
That's right. Check us out on Twitter for our tweets throughout the week at Taste of Dragons. We live tweeted through the Game Awards this week. Thanks, Todd, for doing so. And check us out on Instagram for some fun features. We didn't have any this week.
We did not, again, because of the sickness.
But we're coming back with some ranking of dragons, some how to rank your dragons, and some tasty topics, and I don't know, other stuff.
Yeah, all the other
good
stuff.
We'll throw anything in there.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Some winters.
Yeah.
Winter is coming.
nice. And then, as always, my name is Brian.
My name is Troy.
Amanda.
And I'm Joe.
And we are...
The Taste of Dragons.
Yeah, Brian.
We got it. Have a great week, everyone. I'm really happy we both met eyes. It was great.